Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 19th year. Today's podcast is sponsored by Pavilion Payments, trusted by over 400 land-based casinos and iGaming sites. Maximize your revenue with better funding options through Pavilion Payments' complete suite of integrated solutions. Enhance player experiences with VIP Preferred, offering quick access to cash, flexible deferred settlement options, and the highest industry limits. Learn more at PavilionPayments.com. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGV, and today our guest is Howard Glazer, the head of government affairs and legislative counsel for Light & Wonder on the sweepstakes casinos that are spreading around the world. Howard Glazer was a top aide to two New York governors and led the successful effort to legalize commercial casino gaming in New York. At the federal level, Glazer served in multiple roles at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. In his position at Light & Wonder, he represents the company in the halls of government, federal, state, and local. He recently called attention to the sweepstakes casino issue that has exploded over the past couple of years. He talks about the definition of gambling and explains how these websites fit every definition of gambling but are not regulated or taxed and have little KYC, AML, or responsible gaming programs. He spoke with me at G2E in Las Vegas in October. Howard, it's good to see you. We met last December in New York, and we had a lot to say there about that situation. But let's start off with sweepstakes. This is the big issue now in gaming for some reason. You know, it's semi-legal in some states. And why don't you explain what your viewpoint from?
Well, first of all, I'll say that it's been the issue of discussion here at G2E. Right. I think more than anything else, sure. I've never seen one topic be all encompassing like this is, and there are strong feelings on both sides of the question because there's a lot of money at stake.
Yeah, for sure.
The first thing to note, I think, is just what the size of that business is.
Right.
It's grown massively. Mm-hmm. It practically didn't exist as a real business a couple of years ago.
Right.
Now Eilers says about $11 billion mm-hmm. in betting next year, and that's just what they've tracked, so right. I think it's probably understated. We've seen that at first it was mostly overseas operators mm-hmm. operating in the U.S. found what they thought might be a loophole.
Right.
Now that they've been doing it without, at least initially, a lot of pushback, we see a lot of American capital
sure.
going in there. So we've got domestic companies, and I'm now on my Twitter feed, my LinkedIn, because I'm looking at the issue, I am getting these ads all the time.
Right. Yeah, sure,
so
right.
for me, it looks like it's exploding,
yeah.
but in fact, the numbers bear that out. So
yeah.
it's a big business. I think it's a confusing business. The terminology, sweepstakes,
sure. right.
Is not really one that describes what it is. And so, look, basically, it is gambling.
Right.
And the proponents of sweepstakes games mm-hmm. never utter the words, it's not gambling.
Right.
I spent an hour at a panel yesterday here, and there were a couple of people who were making the case for sweepstakes games. They really won't say it's not gambling. What they say is it's legal under a different set of
right.
laws.
Right.
And I think, the position that regulators have taken that have looked at it thus far have rejected that notion completely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So three regulators to date have looked at the companies as they become more active in their own states. All three determine, A, what is purported to be sweepstakes is in fact gambling.
Right.
That there's a subterfuge involved in using the sweepstakes
sure.
moniker as a way to make it look like it's not gambling, but the heart of the substance of the transaction is gambling, A, and B, that in their state, it's unlicensed,
right.
unregulated, untaxed, and therefore illegal,
sure.
and criminal and civil penalties could attach. And that begins a robust discussion with the companies who to date have all exited those states.
Right.
So I think we'll see more action like that from mm-hmm. regulators. The sweepstakes side is gearing up. They've mm-hmm. created a trade association.
Right.
They are well funded
right.
because they are, as Eilers said yesterday, as close to a money printing machine as we have ever seen.
Yes.
And so some of that money is sucked out of the United States
mm-hmm.
and going to fund lavish lifestyles
right.
of offshore operators. Some of that money is coming back to pay lawyers and lobbyists and kind of, you know, gear up for the battle. Right. So I think that's, you know, overall the state of play. We can go into any aspect of those issues because it is quite fascinating, at least to me.
Yeah, no question. Yeah. I had a friend who walked me through how it works, and it's very complicated. I mean, they purport to be a social casino, and they give you, you know, a certain amount of coins to really play, and then you convert them into gold coins or something, which are actually monetized.
So when I first heard about this, I didn't understand what anybody's talking about.
Right.
Sweeps coins, gold coins,
right.
You're not really gambling, it's just you're playing for free, but then
right.
if you want to add money to it,
right.
So short version is, in any scenario, you are paying money for a chance to win money. You've been in this industry a long time.
Right.
That is the definition of gambling.
That's right.
All the rest of it is covered. And I, you know, I don't know if we can see this, but here's how it works.
Yeah.
I just happen to have this with
perfect.
Me. Let's say you're a better and you have $100.
There you go.
Okay. I say, and I'm the casino.
Uh-huh.
I am the Howard Glazer, sweepstakes casino. You can play for free for a little while.
Right.
But if you want to step it up a little bit, I'll take your money, but not to bet.
Yeah.
I'm going to take your money and give you a ticket. This is a gold coin, in
right.
effect. And the ticket says, not
$100. Right.
So to continue to play, you're going to get this ticket to continue to play.
Right.
Now, I'm going to bring out the slot machine, and I will offer progressive slots, instant lottery tickets, blackjack, whatever you want. To play that game, you're going to give me this not
$100,
right. which has no value,
right.
and therefore, theoretically, is not gambling,
right.
and you're going to place it in the game of your choice.
Yeah.
You're either going to win money or lose money, and the sweepstakes proponents would say, the transaction that we just did, that's not gambling, because what you gave me has no value
right.
to play a game that has no value,
right.
except for the fact that they also promote to consumers, play our game, you can be one of the $1 million winners. We had 70 so far this year.
Right.
Everybody sees through this.
Right.
Regulators have to see through it. Courts see through it. I know you know probably know Dan Wallach.
Sure, right.
I would recommend to you to take a look at Dan Wallach's Twitter feed yesterday. He did an extensive legal analysis in which courts said this is chicanery.
Yeah.
This is just a subterfuge and a trick to deceive consumers. We'll look at the reality of the transaction. By any other name, it's gambling.
Right.
I don't know how you get around that at a certain point. The caution for this, especially for folks that, you know, are likely to listen to your podcast and pay attention to your writing, is that as it's grown and attracted U.S. investment, you have U.S. funders who don't really know any better,
right.
and vendors. And a lot of those vendors also work in the regulated market,
right.
and they sort of have persuaded themselves, there's a lot of money in this, I'm going
right.
to go along for a while,
sure.
I'll provide whatever the internet service is or
right.
the payment service is. That works until it doesn't. And I think there's a risk, particularly for those entities that are licensed, that if they get into this business, they're going to pay a heavy price later. Having said all that, if it becomes legal and regulated, great.
Yeah.
I can't speak for my company, but companies like mine, I'm sure, would enter any regulated gaming business.
Right.
But for the companies that are largely here at G2E, that comply and are licensed in multiple jurisdictions, they're not going to go near an operation like this that regulators, every one of whom has looked at it, have said is illegal gambling.
Right.
You're not going to risk your license for
sure,
that.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. When you get to the back end, the actual gambling side of it, they have all the games that you might see on a regular real money slot.
Oh no, I encourage you to look at the sites. I have a piece of paper here that shows, first of all, the marketing, it tells you what it is.
Right.
Because they'll show you something that's indistinguishable from any online legal
right.
casino gaming. At the same time, the operators are saying to the regulators, we're not gaming,
right.
we're not casino gaming, we're sweepstakes.
Right.
Don't pay any attention to what we're saying with hundreds of millions of dollars of marketing to consumers, which is that we're gaming and it plays like any other game does. I feel that regulators are in a bit of a difficult role right now. They're playing whack-a-mole with so much illegal gambling,
right, sure.
first taking place at the brick-and-mortar level. Now you have, without geographic borders
right.
and operating at cyber speed, a regulator who was built in the rotary era
right.
trying to grapple with all this.
Sure.
And so this is difficult for them to do, and I give a lot of credit to the regulators that have decided to take it on. I will go out on a limb and predict that we will see much more regulatory action of this nature. And I think it will act as a deterrent to funders and to vendors and begin to choke off the capital that is allowing sweepstakes to grow at the rate that it is.
Sure. Well, we've also seen some pretty reputable people, you know, saying, you know, sweepstakes may not be really illegal. I mean, I won't say the name, but there's a guy who is head of one of the major operating companies that said, you know, let's take a look at it. I mean, do you think that they could become a regulated industry in the same way online gaming is?
I will say that at the current time, there's no operator, including I think the one you're talking about, that believes that they should be in this space.
Yeah.
As long as it is having the kind of regulatory actions that we're seeing. He's really saying a different thing, and I agree with him on this. If it's legal and if it's regulated, you'll participate. So the next question is, what are the odds of that happening?
Yeah.
I think the odds are greater that while you and I are sitting here having this conversation, the earth will crash into the sun, than that sweepstakes per se will be legalized as online gaming. Because if that were going to happen, it would have happened through online gaming, legalized in more than the seven states where it's currently happening.
Right.
And I think that has been a very slow process. I don't see a lot of activity taking place in the next year or so in terms of legalizing iGaming. But at the point at which that comes, and you know, my company, we're a big proponent of legalizing iGaming, you know, that's a good thing, and it'll bring compliance into the marketplace, protections for the consumers, which we didn't yet talk about. That's a big issue.
Right, sure.
You know, none of the sweepstakes companies operating like this today are required to do anything.
Yeah.
Some of them say they do. They say we do KYC. They say we do AML, anti-money laundering. A, there's no requirement to do so. B, there's nobody looking at it to see if they're actually doing what they say they do.
Right.
So having a legal regulated market would be a great positive in bringing this industry into compliance. And very importantly, and Michael Pollack made this point yesterday in our panel, making sure there is consumer and regulatory confidence in this industry. You've been in this industry a long time. It took a long time to get to a point where this industry was viewed as having standards of integrity and confidence in that, and that is hard won and easily lost. So again, I think, you know, saying sweeps, don't worry about it, we're going to take care of the consumer and treat them fairly, and we're going to make sure that the you know, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars that pass through us are going to the right place. That's a lot of trust to put in.
Right. And they also claim they've got AML regulations in place. And what do you think?
It's voluntary. Yeah. You know, they say it. Okay, let's see it.
Right.
Have you shown it to a regulator?
Yeah.
What's the requirement? And their answer will be, well, in the normal operation of payment processing, you know, we're going to be going through financial office control, the currency, all of that. Okay, the fact that you are complying there does not make the illegal gambling suddenly legal, number one. Number two, those financial transactions are not being viewed through the lens of gambling by a gambling regulator.
Right.
This is not you're purchasing a Snickers bar at CVS.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a different level for the payment processors.
Okay, so let's talk about the illegal casinos that aren't hiding.
There's a lot of that gambling.
There's a lot of them, but again, as you mentioned, some of the states have cracked down on the biggest one, I guess, Bovada. They've told them to stop operating in their states, and for some reason, Bovada complies. they're not legal anywhere else. But are we doing enough to really shut that in?
Well, again, that's a huge industry. AGA estimates 500 and change billion dollars in total illegal gaming taking place. $330 billion of that, which is offshore, online, illegal casino gaming, not including sports betting. So it's a very big scope. The offshore legal operators, unlike the sweepstakes, make no pretense that they're operating legally.
Sure.
They're just hard to reach because they're offshore.
Right.
They just don't have a legal U.S. presence that you can leverage and go after. And this is where the restrictions on the regulators are frustrating for them. They do the cease and desist the best they can do. What you really need there is federal law enforcement, because these are international money transfers.
Sure.
This is the purview of Treasury and the Justice Department, and without doubt, they have not done enough. They've begun to look at it. AGA has been good about raising the issue. I met with some congressional delegation members that were here visiting with us yesterday to try to raise the awareness of that issue. You know, the challenge becomes, and there's a lot of crime out there,
right,
and financial crime being dealt with, and so the question is of priority. I think because it's become so ubiquitous in the U.S., and what you hear more and more is, I hear just from people who are in or out of the industry, parents who are aware that their kids are playing these games, the awareness has raised, that is sinking in, I think at the top levels of law enforcement, and they can do something about it if there's a will to do so. But I do think we're going to need federal help on this. The states cannot deal with international money laundering on their own.
Sure, sure, no question. So let's talk about, I would think that the more states that legalize iGaming, the less of an impact these sweepstakes and other illegal casinos have. And as you mentioned, we only have 7 states right now that are participating in that market. Why is it taking so long?
You know, it's a really good question. I think there was an expectation that when sports betting was introduced, iGaming would quickly follow on the heels, and that hasn't happened, I think, for a number of reasons. Number one, there's just a difference in nature about the way that people react to the idea of a casino on your phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to millions of people in your state. And so there's an extra level of scrutiny to, you know, show us that this is a good idea.
Sure.
So there is that. There's really not a question about the money. I mean, look at New York, it's pulling in how much money they are on sports betting, and they'll do similar on iGaming. I think there's some, it's too strong to say buyer's remorse, but there's some surprise at the penetration and the absolute, you know, you just see everywhere the saturation advertising for sports betting. And that's given legislators and policymakers who are also parents some pause.
Yes.
What you see them focusing on now in the state houses is, do we need to go back and add some restrictions on advertising? Did we tax them at the right place? They're making more money than we thought they would, or at least that's the perspective of regulators. Perception there. And it's everywhere. My sporting event has turned into a betting event.
Yeah.
And so I think they didn't anticipate that all of this would happen. And they're on, let's go slow on this next great thing you're about to sell us, industry, that maybe has more to it that we need to understand.
Sure.
I think that's a very big part of it. It hasn't helped that the industry, which I love being in this industry, we spend more time fighting each other than we do working to grow the industry itself. You saw what happened in California on sports betting last year. They spent $600 to $700 million between two sides on a betting referendum over who's going to have the rights to sports betting.
Right,
this wasn't about making a bigger market.
Right.
It's about who gets the pocketbook of it.
And they both went down to flaming defeats.
My advice to one of the companies that was deeply involved in this, many tens of millions of dollars, was, and I think they put in $100 million themselves, I said, you know, if you'd like to put it in our slot machine, that's okay by us.
Right.
You'd probably get a better return.
That's right.
The same thing is happening in Missouri today. There's a big fight in Missouri over this. So, and then, you know, the industry has got all kinds of internal strife happening that is less focused on growing the gaming pie for everyone and more focused on divvying up the pie that maybe is expanding.
Sure.
And that gets in the way of expansion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the meantime, the illegal guys see a vacuum, and they're flowing in, whether they're an offshore, Nevada, or whether they're a sweepstakes company, they are filling the void that the gaming industry has so far been unsuccessful in persuading legislators to create a legal market out of.
And again, you have no KYC, you know, no money laundering protection, things of that nature. So again, you know, the quicker we can get that up and running, the better.
No question. There's always going to be some.
Right.
But what you've done now is invite what are essentially really cartel-sized groups that have unlimited money that we do not know the source of that are funding these operations in the U.S.
Yep.
This is not a mom and pop that's set up in the back of the delicatessen or the social club. This is internationally funded. We invited them in. And just another word on the consumer, because we mentioned it in this conversation, we didn't talk about it. If you're a consumer and you go on these sites, you have no way of knowing they're not legal.
Right.
You're going to assume, if they're on my phone in my state, I guess, to the degree, I think there's a gaming commission that looks at it, that somebody looked at it, and you're going to get the same protections of fair play and protection that everybody else gets in the gaming world. Obviously, that's not true. It also raises deceptive consumer practices for both of these types of company, offshore and sweepstakes.
Yeah, I've seen surveys where they polled people, do you know what this is? Do you know whether it's legal or not? And I think over 40% of them didn't know whether it was legal or not.
When I get these little advertisements that come up, you know, I don't know every legal company or legal company. I have to go look and see, is this a legal or illegal company? I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
So even those of us in the industry that don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of who's operating in the online gaming space can be fooled.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Well, Howard, thanks for taking the time to sit down. I'm going to use some of these quotes in our story in January, our January
Very
short.
Good.
On Sweepstakes, and we appreciate you stopping by, and let's stay in touch.
Always happy to join you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast, sponsored by Pavilion Payments, the industry's leading cashless payment provider. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the weekly news of the gaming industry, subscribe to ggbnews.com. Use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.